Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Afcons Holdings Limited H1 FY 2025 earnings conference call hosted by Kirin Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Chandni from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Muskan. Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the conference call of Afcons Holdings Limited. From management team, we have Captain Deepak Parasuraman, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Kannan Ramakrishnan, Whole-time Director. Now I hand over the call to Captain Deepak. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for joining the call today for Afcons' financial performance conference for the second quarter and the first half-year of 2025. It's a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. I extend a warm welcome to one and all of you as we, in particular, this is our first call after our recent listing on 9th August of this year. So, to put it in short, let me just make a brief that we started this company in 2013. It's been a long journey. In 2016, we started researching in the market, and in 2017, we started taking all the required permissions and so forth. In 2019, we got the allotment of our freighters, and we have started operating on the quasi-charter model from 3rd September 2021. We have got our own two leased aircraft, dry leased aircraft of Boeing 737-800 in 2023, and now we are all ready with our aircraft. As a combined organization, we have a vast experience, and now we are fully established. We have over 20,000 hours of flying experience. We have over combined work experience of our people, staff, our puts goes into very many years. We have a complete setup ready with 24-hour operations control center, maintenance control center, round-the-clock engineering, and well-staffed crew. Significantly, we'd like to say that our aircraft are now ready for flying. Test flights are completed. The aircraft arrived in Chennai on 10th November this month, and we are good to go. Coming to a very high-level financial performance, ladies and gentlemen, in the first half-year for 2025, we have done a revenue of 90.19 crores. Year-on-year, if you will see, the increase has been by 26.48%. Our EBITDA, we recorded 29.49 crores, a year-on-year increase by 65%. We recorded a PAT of 18.86 crores, which year-on-year increases 54.64 crores. So this, in short, is a very brief snapshot of our financial performance. Ma'am, over to you.
Thank you very much. Please note that this conference call will be approximately 6 minutes long. It's a request to all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two questions per participant. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sudhir Bheda from Bheda Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and hearty congratulations on being the first cargo airline to be listed on the exchange.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, my questions are, I just want to understand the opportunities available, addressable market size, in the cargo, air cargo space. What are the opportunities and how big is the market?
Karan, sir?
Yeah. Thanks, Captain. So the market, you know, the opportunities are, you know, pretty large, and it is growing at a faster pace. And all the previous, you know, estimates by, you know, the aviation leaders, you know, like Boeing and Airbus, they all have estimated the cargo growth, you know, CAGR growth estimated somewhere between 5%-6% year-on-year, which is, you know, which has been estimated. And particularly the region of our focus, their estimate is, you know, the CAGR is around, you know, 6%-7%, you know, is what they are expected growth, you know, for the next 5 years. And in reality, I think, you know, because of the West Asian conflict and, you know, the sea route, you know, is experiencing a very turbulent, you know, navigation time. So the cargo, you know, the demand for the air cargo has further, you know, increased, and the growth is pretty large. And in India, if you look at it, and the availability of, you know, the pure charters is very limited, and the cargo volume is pretty high. So there is a huge scope, and that is what, you know, Afcom is endeavor, you know, to, you know, make use of that, you know, for our growth.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. And my second question is, sir, since we have already acquired the two dry lease plane, and then we are further acquiring the planes in the this financial year and next financial as well. So what is the projection for next financial year in terms of, financials, how the sales would look like? And one plane will generate how much revenue with, what is the EBITDA margin per plane in a month? How the revenue will be generated out of one plane, for example, and what would be the EBITDA margin?
Sir, each of these Boeing 737-800 has got a capacity of 22.5 tons on a gross weight basis, and on a volumetric weight basis, 29.5 tons. Our cargo is always a mix of, you know, weight to volume ratio. You know, it will be a mix of, you know, a dense cargo and, you know, the voluminous cargo. It will always be a mix. So even taking on a gross weight as, you know, as a baseline for our calculations, 22.5 tons, and each aircraft on a very conservative estimate of operating one schedule per day for 6 weeks. And these aircraft are, you know, I mean, with the current kind of a market and the yield, we can safely presume that, you know, anything on a conservative estimate, you know, 18 to 20 crores of, you know, the revenue each aircraft is capable of producing in a month.
And EBITDA margin, sir?
On a very conservative estimate, the EBITDA margin will be in the range of around, you know, 32-34%, sir.
And what is the next year's projection with the planes coming in? We are expanding the fleet. So how the next year will look like?
So, instead of putting a particular number, you know, I leave it to your, you know, the best judgment. The each aircraft on a conservative estimate, as I told you, that, you know, around 18 crores to 20 crores is the top line revenue possibility. And we intend to have a fleet size of 5 aircrafts. And so, you know, I mean, this is on a very, what should I say, simple plain vanilla calculation is the opportunity what is available.
Understood. Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Very good then.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahil Dasani from MAPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity. My first question is the green. Hello?
Hello, yes, sir. We can hear you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. So my first question is the agreement that we have with the GSSAs and the flight forwarders, how does it work exactly? Is there some sort of exclusivity like for some particular geography or some products, or some fixed space confirmation according to which our planes will at least carry a certain tonnage from these agents per trip?
Sir, to answer your question, yes, the GSSAs are the General Sales and Service Agents. have the exclusivity for each of the regions they operate from. For example, the TTK Group, Taylor Logistics, has the exclusivity for India. How it operates is that they give us what is known as MGR or minimum guaranteed return. So 50% revenue or 50% load factor-based revenue for each flight is guaranteed by the GSSC.
Okay. And have we gotten this confirmation for the new planes that we have brought in already?
Yes, sir. The confirmation is there. It is for the entire term of the contract, irrespective of the fleet we operate.
Got it. My next question would be around passenger aircraft. Since they have a lot of belly capacity and because of that, they would be a lot more efficient than us, and they are already very competitive. So what would be the incentive for the end customer or these agents to pay much higher and go ahead with the non-scheduled operators? Exactly how do we fit in the value chain amongst these sort of players?
Three specific value is brought in by a pure freighter, sir. The first value that's being bought is that in a passenger aircraft, A, the door size of the belly cargo limits to what kind of cargo that can be transported. B, the belly cargo availability is always subject to what is the passenger's check-in baggage load, which is never really confirmed until the last moment. Third, there are many cargo today which is the critical component of export and import, which cannot be carried on board a passenger aircraft. For example, anything that has batteries, laptops, mobile phones, electronic goods, engineering machinery, none of these can be carried in a passenger aircraft as these are deemed as dangerous goods. But even perishables like frozen foods which go on dry ice is not permitted in a passenger airline. So this excludes a majority of the export and import cargo, which is what is moving, which makes it imperative to be moved in a pure freighter.
Makes sense. So just in connection to this, why did we want to go ahead and do non-scheduled operations instead of the scheduled operations? Because from what I understand, it seems that non-scheduled flights, they benefit nowhere, be it predictability in filling up space or that only select customers and products need us. Also, we need to undergo much more scrutiny.
No, sir. The purpose of starting with a non-scheduled is neither of this. Non-scheduled in the initial stages gives us the flexibility to operate multiple routes. For example, we are doing the Singapore, Thailand, Vietnam sectors. However, increased demand because of the West Asian conflict leading to the hardening of freight rates has got us now opportunity to fly a little more into the Middle East region and to one other Maldives. So if I was a scheduled operator to go ahead and get these schedules across these airports and start operating will take time. But the flexibility of increasing networks and changing networks is very easy in a non-scheduled operator. Of course, from certain cost component perspectives, it is cheaper to be a scheduled operator than a non-scheduled operator. But the advantage of a non-scheduled operator in the initial stages far outweigh that of a scheduled operator. So that is a specific reason we start as a non-scheduled operator. While the fleet size increases beyond the point, they automatically transition to scheduled. And this has been the case with everybody, sir. Even passenger airlines, Jet Airways, everybody started as non-scheduled. When they were exceeded 5 aircraft, they transitioned to scheduled.
All right, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to 2 questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Akash from Sahasra Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. So I just had a few questions. The first one was, the approval that we got for the commercial operation, so is it for the single plane or both the planes that we have?
Sorry, sir, I didn't get the question. Hello?
Akash sir, can you
Yes,
speak
sir.
a little louder?
Yeah. So the approval that we got for the commercial operations, so is it for the single plane or is it for both the planes that we have?
Both the planes, sir.
So from the 26th of November, we would be starting the operation for both the planes. Is my understanding correct?
The second plane may join 5 to 7 days after the first plane, sir.
Okay. And so my next question was, the order that we placed for the two new planes, so what's the status there? So if you can just explain.
It is under process at the moment. There are three or four more steps before the aircraft is physically brought to India.
It's 3 or 4 months, you said, right?
Steps left before the aircraft is physically brought to India.
He said three or four more steps, not months.
Share with us.
Three or four steps, sir, in the process before physically bringing the aircraft to India.
Okay. Sir, is there any timeline that you can share with us?
Sir, very shortly, sir. I mean, we are looking at all of it well before the end of this financial year.
Okay. And so the Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow Enter Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Good afternoon to everyone. I hope I am audible.
Loud and clear, sir. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Deepak, first of all, congratulations. The numbers are really, really good, unexpected.
Thank you, sir.
I'm wondering what you will do with your own planes, if you are doing what you are doing right now. My question is, first of all, on the taxation part, I wanted to understand, the last 2 years, full years, that is FY 2024 and 2023, in the P&L statement, the taxes are around about 8.9 crores in FY 2024. Yeah, and in FY 2023, the taxes were 4.5 crores in the P&L statement, right? However, if I look at the cash flow statement, the taxes that you have actually paid in cash, it is basically half of what you have shown in the P&L. So I was curious to know why the tax outgo in actual terms, in cash term, is lower than what you have shown in the P&L statement.
Coming, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sir, in which year you are saying that it is half, sir?
Sir, in end of FY 2024, the figure is 8.85 crore, right?
Correct.
And if I look at the cash flow statement of the same year, it is around 3.69 crores.
Okay, I'll take your question. I'll come back to you. So let me take out the records because offhand, I mean, the tax is fully paid, and I will come back to you with the proper answer. I'll take your question.
Right. I'll wait for this question. In the meantime, I'll ask you the other question that I have.
Yeah.
The question is, an extension of the previous participant's question on the aircraft, right? You are mentioning 18-20 crores per aircraft per month, right? And with four aircraft, I think it is going to touch more than 900-1,000 crore revenue. I mean, is this understanding correct? When you have four aircraft ready with you,
Yes.
You can do 900-1,000 crores? That's the right number?
Absolutely, sir. As a matter of fact, through the next financial year, it's going to be totally five aircraft. So this is going to be higher than that. And also to state that this is one flight per aircraft per day. but there are growing newer opportunities which the utilization of aircraft are going to be higher. For the moment, that we are keeping out of the picture.
And Deepak ji, how confident are you to, you know, get such kind of business from your existing, you know, agents? I mean, that's a big number, right? Are they already doing these kind of volumes which will shift to you from the other airlines? Or how?
There are three things here, sir. One is currently being shipped by through foreign carriers, which is going to different destinations and getting a transship from there. For example, if you have to send to Jakarta, you send from here to Hong Kong, transship from Hong Kong to Jakarta. It takes more time, costs more money. Now, that gets substantially reduced. That's point number one, sir. Second, it's a growing market. The market is growing. And the unmet demand is very large. Because on-ground cargo is substantially available. It's not that if the cargo is available today to be shipped, that there is a flight for to be carried the same day. It has a downtime. So that volume of cargo is also very large. The third thing, which is the ever-expanding West Asian conflict, which is hardening the freight rates and is bringing severe strain in the capacity, because many of the people who are operating the large wide-bodied aircraft, the foreign carriers, are now pushing these aircrafts into Western destinations where the yields are much higher. So that is bringing an absolutely new opportunity. And sorry, sir, for my comparison, but today the cargo freight, the way it is growing, not that much, but still looks like as it was during the COVID period.
Right. Sir, just one last question, a very quick one, and after
yes,
I'll fall back in the queue. If I compare your employee expenses for this half, it
yes.
is about 3.1 crores.
Yes.
And if I compare it with the sequential last year's half, that was about 3.8 crores. Despite you have done additional about 13 crores revenue. I was wondering why the employee cost is lower even from the last half of the, you know, the last year. What is the reason for this 80 lakh rupee drop in the employee cost?
I'll answer the question. The employee costs pertaining to the dry lease operation have been, you know, taken to the balance sheet, you know, till August the end. September 4th onwards, you know, it has been taken into the P&L. And till September 4th, it has taken onto the balance sheet because as a pre-operative expenses, and that's the reason.
No, sir. So that is something, you know, so my question was, 76 crore for 76 crore revenue, you have expenses about 3.8 crore. For 89 crore revenue, you only have 3.1. I know something you are capitalizing for the planes that you have bought now. I'm talking about the existing, you know, operations. Why in the existing operations, the even though the revenues are going up, but employee cost has come down?
Sir, I mean, existing operation, whatever pertaining to the cost of the existing operation is charged to the P&L. Whatever over and above the, you know, the existing operation, which are, you know, the manpower costs pertaining to the dry lease operation, all those things have been taken into the pre-op expenses and it is charged to the balance sheet. And from, you know, as I mentioned, from 4th September onwards, you know, it has been, you know, what you call charged to the P&L. And till then, it is charged to the balance sheet.
Got it, sir. Maybe I'll take this offline whenever we have a one-on-one call. But
Thank you. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neeraj from Franchin Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, Deepak sir and Kananji.
Hi.
Congratulations on great. So my question is, what is the total amount that we have capitalized as a pre-op expense for these two dry lease planes? If you can share that number.
Sir, it is around 31 crores, sir.
It's around 31 crores, okay.
Yeah.
And secondly, you said that from 4th of September, you have started charging the pre-op expenditure for the employee cost to the P&L. Why 4th of September? That's when you got what? Why?
So 4th of September is what our flights have completed. The test flight schedule was finished, and the flights, the official approval has come in. So after that, we have been using for the test flight, we have been doing the ground run, and we have been doing so the manpower for the dry lease operation. Yeah, dry lease operation.
Got
And they have been put into use. That is the reason.
Got it, got it. Now, other question is with regards to the pre-op expense, when you are going to start charging over to the P&L and over what period you plan to charge that amount to the P&L?
So we already started charging to the P&L from 4th September onwards on a pro rata basis, and it will continue, and it is, depreciated over the period of 8 years, which is the life of the lease term of these aircraft.
Got it.
On the IT terms, it is, depreciated for 5 years.
On the IT terms for 5 years, and on your book basis, it will be 8 years balance terms of the year. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Chaudhary from Samarthya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, sir. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. Sir, this depreciation, you said the pre-operative expenses will be we have started from 4th September, but in the half yearly we can only see a 4 lakh amount, which was also present in previous half years. So it from the numbers it does not appear that you have really started.
Can I, sir?
So there is a difference of, from 3.24 lakhs, of the corresponding period, it has gone up to 4.74 lakhs, is the thing, sir. 4.74 was the whole year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just final, are we completely done as far as the approvals are concerned? I mean, are we done with proving flights or the maintenance inspection?
The maintenance inspections are complete. All the inspections are complete. As we speak, we have the DGR inspectors in our operations office, which is where I'm taking this call from, for the final one. And we are good to go. Proving flight is pending this week.
Okay, so is there anything other than, is that the last stage, or is there something
that is the last
proving flight also?
The proving flight is the last step, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to know what is the schedule for the three other aircrafts. When do they come in and when do they start the operations? Hello.
Yes, sir. So with regard to the other three aircraft, sir, as I said, for the third and the fourth aircraft, we have got 4 steps left, which will be inducted within this financial year. There are only 4 steps in the process left to import the aircraft into the country. Thereafter will be the 5th aircraft, sir, which will also be well within the end of this financial year.
So they will start operation, or you will take a couple of months?
They will start operation. The first aircraft is the process, because there is an organizational approval process involved. When the organization approval of an airline gets approved, subsequent aircraft on arrival is about 7 days for entry into service.
Okay. My next question was, sir, you have capitalized, you said 31 crores. Is that right? Can you give details of this amount? What type of expenses are this?
Yeah, these expenses are pertaining to the fixed assets, tools and equipment, and, the pre-op expenses, salaries paid to the dry lease set of operation, and these are all the natures, you know, of the expenses which are capitalized.
So how much of this 31 crore is revenue in nature and how much is actual capital expenditure?
So roughly around, you know, 12 crores is revenue in nature and the rest of the things are capital, which are pertaining to the fixed assets and the tools, equipments and all the other stuff.
And my last question is, somebody asked about scheduled and unscheduled airline operations. So if you can explain the difference between the two in terms of cost implication.
So between the scheduled and the non-scheduled operations, the key difference of a scheduled operator is, for example, if I'm operating to Singapore or any other destination, my schedule is fixed for 6 months, including the time my slots are booked for the 6 months, which is what is a scheduled operator. So my airport slots are booked, my summer schedules are established. In a non-scheduled, it does not apply. If we want to fly, we just have to file a flight plan and fly to that destination with a pre-approval. So this is the single largest difference between a scheduled and a non-scheduled operator. So the specific advantages of a scheduled operator is that your landing parking are marginally cheaper. You are able to sign a better fueling contract because, you know, the time and your schedule is already fixed for a year. So these are the marginal differences between a scheduled and a non-scheduled operator. Many of the people in the passenger line go for schedule because they are able to publish it to tell the passengers what time, exact departure times, etc. Freight aircraft predominantly operate in non-scheduled because we give a timeline. Say, today, the 16th November, the departure is between 10 to 12. That's how we give it. And so the gate cutoff is 4 hours prior to 10. So it's, the schedule is more focused towards the passenger airlines.
No, I understood that. My question is there a significant cost difference? Or
there's not a significant cost difference. No, sir. There's no significant cost difference. It's not
okay, there. Okay. Yeah, that's what I wanted to understand.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devansh Shah from Credent Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, am I audible?
Loud and clear, sir. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Loud and clear, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So, so there's one question, sir. Sir, I was just looking at our PPT, sir, the board of directors page. I'm looking at Flying and Freighters as well, sir. The case,
right.
If you could, you know, just elaborate on the same, sir. What went on?
Flying and Freighters.
Yes, sir.
In your past.
Okay, sir.
As a past experience.
There is something on my personal past experience, sir. We will park it, maybe that we will discuss one-on-one because it's not a part of AFCOM at the moment, sir.
Done, sir.
It's okay. We can take it on a personal call. Thank you.
No problem, sir. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Jain from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity, Captain.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. Sir, my question was as you mentioned previously by participant, that there were each aircraft can do 20 crore of revenue per aircraft. So I was trying to just figure it out why currently we aren't at the current run rate of 20 crore. Because if the same run rate has been reached, it would have been reflected in the revenues. So what's causing the mismatch?
Yes. That's very simple, sir. There are three specific reasons for that. One is that we are operating a quasi charter at the moment, which is restricted to 3 schedules a week. Whereas these aircraft of ours will fly as much as we want to. It is with us, so it will fly 6 days, 7 days a week, and as many schedules as we want. That's point number one, sir. The second point is that these aircraft are 737-400 on the quasi charter, which is got a capacity limitation of 15 tons gross weight, whereas our aircraft are 22.5 tons gross weight, is 800. So this is the primary reason for difference.
even if I half the revenue, we still have a significant scope because I included earlier for 7 schedules a week. Even if we adjust it for 3 schedules per week, we should be somewhere around 180 crores of revenue. And we are somewhere around that part only, 180, 140 CR. So how we are planning to ramp up here from here? What's the plan for that? Because I had that question before the listing also, and I have it currently because I can't foresee the 900 CR the revenue without something concrete on the table. So what's our plan?
Sorry, sir. I'm not able to get the question. Come on, sir.
What's the plan to increase this reschedule per week?
Okay. So the ramp-up plan is very clear, sir. Each of the aircraft is going to do minimum 6 flights a week. Starting immediately, we have 2 aircraft which will do 6 flights a week with 22.5 tons. So straight away, okay, there is a capacity jump. So apart from this, sir, the other aircraft will do the same. However, what is not included in the projection is that each of these aircraft are capable of flying on an average 17 to 18 hours a day. The current shown schedules are only 9 hours a day. So through the day, the aircrafts are available and we intend doing multiple flights, which is kept outside of this 20 crore projection. So each aircraft on an average 22.5 with the 29.5 ton average gross weight, 6 times a week, will reach the 20 crores. And of course, with the other schedules which will be operating by the day, more so because of the increased demand of the West Asian conflict, it's actually going to be much higher.
Got it. So do we have to add hired the... sorry, go ahead.
Yes. Just to add his captain's point, sir, it is not that the ramp-up plan is just not only the capacity offering. It is also different destinations, and we'll also be connecting few more major cargo hubs in India apart from Chennai. These are all our ramp-up plan. That is how we are pretty confident with the number of the cargo opportunity which is available presently, and with our the offerings of capacity in the market, and these numbers, whatever we are talking about, it is pretty much is in the visibility.
Okay, got it. Have we hired the pilots for the same?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So last question before I get back in the queue. when will the is the current six schedule per week starting from next week?
Yes, sir.
When these two new aircrafts would reach the six schedule per week timeline?
No, sir. Immediately I'm starting, sir.
Okay.
We have the cargo lined up for it.
Okay. Thank you. I will get back a bit.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. And it's request all the participants in the conference, please limit the questions to 2 questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Rupesh Sharma from Pell Point Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
So, can you give me a breakdown of when the 5 aircrafts will come into the AFCOM fold? You have 2 aircrafts coming by November 25th and November end. What is the plan for other 3 aircrafts? And are they the same size, 737-800?
Sir, all the 5 are the same fleet, 737-800 DCS. The 2 aircrafts have already come and will be commissioned to start flying from the 25th commercially. The other 3 aircrafts will come before the close of this financial year.
So before FY25 ends, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you confident on that, sir? Or?
Absolutely, sir. We are on the job.
And my next question is on expanding this fleet size. What is the plan for FY26? Will you be adding any new aircrafts?
Well, sir, that FY26A, we operate the five aircraft to its fullest potential, optimum utilization of resources. Thereafter comes our phase two of our business plan, where we intend adding two wide-body aircraft to expand our network in this direction, which will be the 777s mostly.
Mostly. Okay. Will that happen in FY26 or will that be?
Yes, sir. FY26, all going well.
Okay. Okay. And you told about that on a conservative basis, you are confident on running the aircraft at one schedule per day for 6 days a week. But can this be increased? Can this be increased?
This will be definitely increased, and increased in the near term itself. As I said, that the demand of the freighter is going very, very high. So see, so the six schedules a week is already done. We are currently working on adding the schedules, which will be much more, and the yield will be much larger given the vegetation conflict. So we will be making an official announcement shortly after the 25th. I'm so sorry, sir, but I am restrained by the UPSI requirements not to be able to disclose in greater detail.
Sure. Thanks a lot for your time and answering my questions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish from MCM. Please go ahead.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Sir, our acquisition of 18-20 crore per month per plane is with what estimation of load capacity, sir?
We have calculated conservatively at a 75% CLS.
Sir, we achieved 15 crore per month in H1, which was purely from quasi charter, and that was, I guess, 3 schedules per week, right?
Correct.
So, sir, and we are expecting 20 crore with a larger capacity and with almost 12 schedules per week, per week two planes. So is our calculation somewhere, are we being extremely conservative in understanding 20, this?
20 crore is per aircraft, sir. 12 schedule means then it becomes 2 aircrafts.
Right.
18-20 crore, we said that, you know, per aircraft.
But 12 schedule is for 2 planes per week, right?
Correct, yeah.
And H1 we did 3 schedules per week, correct?
Correct, yeah.
So that's, and there we could achieve 15 crore a month.
Yeah.
So, we are expecting to achieve 40 crore per month approximately from 2 planes, is it? So are we still under-guiding this? The guidance for this seems a bit under estimation.
Sir, in fact, as Captain was telling, I was also telling, initially, the potential is large, and it is on a very conservative estimate what we have been, we are estimating on a very conservative basis.
Okay. And so, by any chance, if our load capacity goes from
70%? And the load, sir, load capacity currently, if you look at it, we are operating in the range of around 95% plus, and in some of our flights are 100%. But, we have taken an estimate of around 75% only. So we are, we are trying to be a little conservative to begin with.
Okay, and the 30% EBITDA we can sustain with the 70% load capacity, is it?
Yes, sir. EBITDA will be definitely sustainable. And in fact, dry lease operation, provides us the economies of scale, and that benefit also will get accrued into the P&L.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utkarsh Soumya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just had a question on these current 2 aircrafts that you have. You'll have an entire year of operation in FY26, am I right, for these 2 aircrafts? And given the 20 crore number that you have given, we can easily estimate that you will at least do 480 crores from these 2 aircrafts in FY26.
You're right, sir.
Okay. And
you're right. Yeah.
And the rest three will come before March 25. And when will they start operations? Like these two are starting operations on the 25th of November. When will those three start operations approximately?
Sir, our start of operation only we are estimating, you know, before the end of this financial year. So that, you know, the next year, the full, the benefit of, you know, the I mean, entire fleet of aircrafts operating will be there. That's what, you know, we have been working on.
Then we can say upwards of 1200 crore top line. Give or take.
Sorry?
We can say upwards of 1200 crore top line, give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you gave us a margin of 30%, and I'm sure you would have included the benefits of operating leverage, economies of scale. But you have not really achieved 30% anytime before this. So have you taken that into account?
EBITDA, sir. We have not EBITDA. Told 30%, you know, PAT. It is EBITDA.
No, no, EBITDA. Yes, yes, EBITDA.
Yeah.
So you're confident of achieving that?
Yes, sir. EBITDA is, you know, definitely yes.
And this is as per 70% load factor. Am I right?
75%.
75%. Okay. And with 5 aircraft, how much interest cost in terms of working capital do you foresee? Like right now, I think your short-term borrowings are 11 crores.
Yeah.
And you get 2 crores of interest cost in the first half. So, how do you see this panning out with operating 5 aircraft?
So, our working capital cycle is, you know, roughly around 60 days. And, you know, the 60 days, you know, the working capital have to be met by institutional borrowings. And the cost of borrowings is roughly anywhere between 9.5% to 10.5%, which is, you know, the bill discounting facility is what, you know, we have opted for. And that's the kind of, you know, the interest, you know, will be accrued into the P&L.
So what will your short-term borrowing look like?
So short-term borrowing, see, the, what do you call it? So working capital borrowings only, and we estimate a working capital of, you know, 50 crores, you know, to be, availed, you know, to begin with. And a 60-day cycle and a 50 crores, you know, the working capital in at a cost, cost of funds is roughly on an average around 10%. So we estimate, you know, yeah, we estimate somewhere around, you know, 4.5 to 5 crores as the interest cost on the annualized basis.
Okay, and you are already at 4 crores. So that will only go up to from 4 to 5, 5, 6 crores.
So this is, you know, a combination of, you know, certain, in the first half period, we had a short-term loan which we pre-closed, you know, from the proceeds of the IPO. And the interest for the, you know, servicing it till August 10th is captured into this. And that is why it is on the higher side.
Okay. So we can assume 5 to 6 crore interest cost for FY20.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And what will your depreciation look like next year?
So on a full year basis, the depreciation will be, you know, roughly around, you know, 1.75 to 2 crores. It will be there.
Okay. Okay. And one last question. During, I think, the IPO meet, you had mentioned that you won't foresee any competition at least for the next 2 years. Then maybe you will see competition coming in after 2 or 3 years. So can you please comment on that? In your
opinion. Captain, you want to take this question? Okay, till he joins, you know, see, we foresee that, you know, the competition may, you know, we might, you know, experience the competition a couple of years down the line, because so far, nobody has, you know, has begun the journey of, you know, forming an NSOP for a few freighter into our country. So even if assuming that, you know, if somebody is going to start this journey now, it's going to be, you know, at least a couple of years from now on. So that is why we said that, you know, for the next couple of years, you know, we don't foresee a major competition. Of course, you know, from the existing players, you know, the passenger aircrafts, and they may come out with, you know, having few, exclusive fighter aircrafts. But going by our experience in the past, you know, even though they come in, you know, with their pure freighter aircraft, they will be using it more to consolidate into their hub, you know, for their large, wider body aircraft operations. And they would like to consolidate cargo from the tier 2, tier 3 towns, you know, as a feeder. That's how, you know, it has worked out in the past, you know, with the major, you know, passenger airlines like Indigo, Spice, and, you know, etc. So that is what our understanding is.
Okay. Thank you so much. And that's your flock.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shireen, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have two questions. The first one is, once we have our dry lease aircraft start operating, are we going to stop the chartered operation that we are doing right now, or are they going to continue?
No, we'll be stopping it, sir.
Immediately, in the month of November itself?
Yes, sir. Once both the aircrafts, you know, start flying, you know, commercially, and the wet lease, the quasi charter operation will be stopped.
Okay, thank you. And the second question is, right now we have three schedules, and the aircraft's capacity is 15 tons. That means 45 tons capacity per week, with two aircrafts running at six schedules. And at 22-ton capacity, it is going to be like 264 tons per week. At 75% utilization, it comes to 200 tons per week. It looks like our capacity is going up like 200 tons, yeah. 4 to 5 times easily.
Yeah.
Do you see enough businesses there to fulfill that? And that's my question, sir. Are you confident that we can fully load?
We are pretty confident. In fact, you know, our GSS are also pretty confident. And we, as we mentioned earlier, we have been working on a minimum guarantee, you know, contractual obligations from our GSSA. They know that what is the capacity, you know, we are putting it on the ground, and they are pretty geared up. And the pent-up demand, you know, for the cargo itself, you know, is pretty high. And number two is that, you know, we are also going to add few more, you know, the destinations. So that is, again, you know, the newer opportunities for which, you know, the cargo, the pent-up demand in that sector also is pretty high. So that is how, you know, we, approaching our capacity offering.
Okay. So the follow-up question is, okay, so we haven't started loading the two airplanes. I mean, as you said, we can run them for 17 to 18 hours. That means we can add more schedules with the existing two aircraft. So why we need to get more aircraft when the current two aircraft are not 100% loaded? What is the rationale and the thinking behind that?
So in fact, see, it is when we are getting into this, you know, on a more, larger scale, and we connect, you know, multiple destinations, it is, you know, some amount of redundancy in terms of, you know, the equipment need to be created, because we start, though we call it ourselves as an NSOP, non-scheduled operators, our operations will be more or less in line to the scheduled operations. So if in case, you know, the aircraft becomes AOG, we should have a fleet, you know, to, operate in that sector for that particular, schedule, so that, you know, the clients are not, you know, put into the sufferings. So that is the one of the point, you know, important point. And second thing is that, you know, the 17 hours of utilization per aircraft, is something, you know, is possible. And, but to that extent, you know, the crew optimization and, you know, that also need to be taken into consideration. And third important thing is when we start connecting multiple, you know, sectors, and with only operating with the two aircrafts, and then we will get into the flight duty time limitations, and it cannot be leveraged, you know, beyond, you know, 12 to 13 hours. So that is why we wanted to have a fleet size of, optimum fleet size of 5, so that four aircrafts will be fully utilized, you know, for complete schedule. And the fifth one, you know, will act as a redundant, as well as, you know, as on a schedule basis.
Thank you. Are you going to operate from outside Chennai, other airports as well, or are you going to stick to only Chennai?
There are plans, sir. There are plans, sir. We'll be operating, you know, a couple of more originations within India major hubs, which we will announce it, you know, at an appropriate time.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The last question is from the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to check this EBITDA margin which you guided, 30%. Is it after the rental for the aircraft that you are leasing or is it before the rental?
Sorry, sir. Come again, sir. Sorry.
The EBITDA margin you said will be 32-33% for dry lease.
Yeah.
So, is this after accounting for the rental or before accounting for the rental?
Yeah, after accounting for the direct expenses.
So, that includes rent, right?
Involves rent, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Is that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Chandni for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the conference call of AFCOM Holdings Limited. If you have any queries, you can write to us at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you for joining the conference.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deepak sir. Thank you, Kanan sir.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. On behalf of Kiran Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.